I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, today we're going to talk about measles. Is there a crisis? There's a lot going on in the news about measles right now.
It is. About every news station, talk radio show, I mean, they're bringing up the measles. So it's a good time for us to talk about it.
All right. So, Dr. Prather, what is the measles?
The measles is a virus known as rubeola, is what the disease is called. But it's a viral infection, extremely contagious. Matter of fact, if you are in a room with someone with measles, you're probably 9 out of 10 of the people will actually catch it. So it's one of the most contagious diseases that's around. So that's why, you know, they were talking about that a kid just went to Disney World and had the measles and didn't know it at that time, but was able to spread it to all these different people. So, you know, you can just be around someone with the measles and catch it just because it's so easily airborne on water droplets. So somebody sneezes, coughs, something like that. It can spread as many as 20 feet from there.
Okay, so highly contagious. Can the measles be dangerous?
The measles can be dangerous. One in 1,000 cases of the measles gets a type of encephalitis that can cause brain damage. 2 out of every 1,000 people can actually have been known in the past to die from measles. Also, you can get with measles a lot of other infections because it weakens the immune system. So a lot of ear infections can come as a result, upper respiratory infections. So there can be quite a few hospitalizations that are associated with the measles, too.
And that's probably why so much of the information is out there.
Right. The measles is something to take seriously, and it can be a dangerous disease.
So why is there an increase in measles right now?
Well, here in the United States, we had in 2000, they had said that they had eradicated measles from the U.S.,
In 2000.
So the vaccinations were extremely successful on that in getting the measles under control. It was definitely one of the success stories of vaccinations. In 2014, we had had about 667 cases in the entire year. That was sort of a high point where we had had it. And already this year, as of the 19th, we had had 695 cases.
In 2019.
In 2019, so a huge increase in that. Now, this increase isn't just occurring in the United States. There, worldwide, the measles vaccination hasn't been really implemented to the same extent. They had reduced it by about 2/3 on the level of measles, but there's quite a bit of measles still left in the rest of the world. But there has been this last year, according to the World Health Organization, about a 3 times increase in the total number of measles worldwide.
Worldwide.
So most of the people who have contacted the measles has been related to foreign travel. So most of the cases that are showing up at this point are the ones that are coming in from outside the United States.
Okay.
So they come in, and then it's easily contagious, so that's why certain pockets of population have been getting it if they have contact with people from other countries. Israel is one of the areas where there has been a large increase this year. So a lot of people who've traveled to Israel or the Ukraine is another area, have brought back the measles and then spread it to other people.
So you're saying in 2000 it was pretty well under control here in the United States.
It was mathematically considered eliminated.
Eliminated, but now, well, starting in 2014.
Well, 2014 was a high year. After that, it was pretty well back under control. But 2019, because of the increase worldwide, then it has also shown up here in the United States too. So it's sort of a more of a worldwide type of a thing that's going on.
Or if you go to Disney World.
Yeah, yeah, that, and a lot of people from other countries wind up there too. So that's a That's an easy way to spread it.
That's one crowded place.
Yes, and you can have the be contagious and not have shown any signs of the disease yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it takes about 14 days for it to show up, and therefore about 4 to 5 days, you can be very contagious and have no idea that you have it.
So should there be a concern with the measles?
Well, yes. The measles is something that worldwide causes a lot of deaths. It is something that has been a problem with especially children. You know, and also for people who are immunocompromised. So, you know, it is something that is a very legitimate concern and something that does deserve our attention. And how to work with it is something that we should be talking about.
And you said 1 in 1,000 can get encephalitis.
And then 2 in 1,000 can actually die from it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this is a big word that everybody's talking about, vaccinations.
Sure.
Are the measles vaccinations effective?
They are. You know, it is something that has been, the measles vaccination has been very successful in controlling the measles. But one of the things that people talk about is, well, if we are all vaccinated, why is that a concern? Because, you know, we shouldn't, if you're vaccinated, then you shouldn't really be concerned about getting the measles,
mm-hmm.
you know, which makes sense. So why the big, you know, worries about it? One of the things is that there are a lot of different types of measles. And we've been able to get it under control in the United States, but we do have confirmed cases of people who have caught the measles who had vaccinations, and
who have had the measles vaccination?
Who have had the measles vaccinations?
Hmm.
So even though you have had the vaccinations, you can still get the measles. Usually, it's at a much lower. You know, in other words, you're not as susceptible to it. In other words, the level of the measles vaccine, the measles disease, doesn't really kick in quite as hard. But it is something that is a concern, even for those people who have been vaccinated, that it is actually spreading around. So it is something that we should be aware of. There are people who are immunocompromised and are more susceptible. And then also little ones, you know, are the most susceptible to the measles. So being aware of newborns and children under the age of 9 months is an important aspect of that.
Okay. And we'll talk about what to look for and,
right.
and things like that. Did I hear you say there's different types of measles?
Yeah, there are actually different, what they call wild types. Mm-hmm. There are measles that come from the vaccination, and you can actually get the measles from a vaccinated person. Interestingly enough, usually not as strong, but then you have the wild type, which they can do different types of testings. But there are different strains of the measles, too.
If it's a virus, right?
It's a virus, mm-hmm. right. And viruses change on a very quick basis.
Is there a good compliance with the measles?
Yes. The United States has about a 91% compliance with the measles vaccination, which is a very high rate of compliance, much better than the rest of the world. We seem to fall in line a lot easier mm-hmm. than most people. But we do have a 91% compliance rate with the measles vaccination.
Okay. So what are the treatments for the measles?
Now, if you get the measles, medically, there isn't really considered a treatment. If you haven't had the vaccination, oftentimes if you get the vaccination when you get the measles, mm-hmm. that has seemed to have some good effects. You can also do some immunoglobulins, which help to boost the immune system. But according to the World Health Organization and the Center for Disease Control, the number one treatment for the measles is vitamin A.
Ah, vitamin A.
Vitamin A. Matter of fact, if you are the main reason that they have found that, you know, I was talking about the deaths mm-hmm. and the encephalitis and a lot of the side effects that comes from the from measles, there is a one-to-one correlation on your vitamin A levels and the severity of the measles and the risk of death. So if you are have a normal levels of vitamin A, it's usually just considered a mild childhood disease. In other words, kids, if they have really good levels along those lines.
Good levels of vitamin A.
Vitamin A. Uh-huh. They play around. Basically, they do have some fever, but it's really not too much of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it is usually something that just they get it, they become immune to it,
mm-hmm.
and then they go on. If you are low, then the level of low vitamin A determines how severe the disease actually occurs. Matter of fact, you know, when you're talking, and I've done some anthropological studies on nutrition and the health of civilizations, one of the main things that every civilization tried to do and every people group tried to do is figure out how to get their vitamin A levels to protect especially their children from childhood infections. So vitamin A is one of the more critical types of things that comes around. The measles is something that was one of the things that wiped out the American Indian population. Mm-hmm. The Indians who did survive, the tribes that did, had ready sources of vitamin A, and that was one of the reasons that they were able to survive where other groups did not.
Interesting. Will we come back more on measles? Is there a crisis?
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. What is ECP therapy?
ECP stands for external counterpulsation therapy. And just to put it into a nutshell, ECP is an aerobic exercise machine. Now, you sit there and say, well, why do you need an aerobic exercise machine? It is the number one treatment for cardiovascular disease. If you look at the research and want to find out, well, how do I fix my cardiovascular disease, you know, whatever it might be, always within the scientific literature, aerobic exercise is one of the most proven, most effective means of reversing cardiovascular disease. So, but the problem is I have people who I sit there and I look at them and I say, well, you know, what do I do about this problem that I have, Doc? And I said, well, go out and run 5 miles, you know, every day. And of course, they all laugh because you know, it took every effort that they had from going to the waiting room into the exam room,
right.
And they're out of breath. So that didn't work. So what was actually done was develop a machine that actually simulates the effects on the body of aerobic exercise, and that's where ECP comes in. And what occurs with ECP is that there's actually a second heart kind of put into the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the outside, but as the heart goes into relaxation, that's when it actually gets its blood. So what we do is we actually have blood pressure cuffs around the legs. It presses on the legs, and we get a huge amount of blood that goes back up to the heart. And the heart is very regenerative, and you get about 10 times as much oxygen with this particular type of treatment than what you normally would. And you get a regeneration of the heart. You also get a cleaning out of the arteries. And you actually get a huge amount of changes in the whole physiology of the body. So all the benefits of aerobic exercise are actually found in ECP, which are absolutely the number one way that you can be able to reverse cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and many other problems.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Detailed lab tests are crucial to understanding your health. As Dr. Prather always says, if you don't test, you don't know. There are certain lab tests that all of us should have at least once per year. At the Prather Practice, we recommend three affordable tests that provide the blueprint to your health. The Prather Profile is the most comprehensive blood analysis available, providing more information about the function of your body than any other test. Minerals are the common deficiencies in the body, and hair analysis is the most effective way to analyze mineral levels. The bowels have the largest influence on the immune system, and the best way to test that is through the GI Effects Toolkit. The Prather Profile Blood Analysis and the GI Effects Toolkit are even covered by most insurances. Don't guess when it comes to your health. Discover the blueprint to your health at the Prather Practice by calling us at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Well, today we're talking about measles. Is there a crisis? And Dr. Prather, I want to talk a little bit more about the vitamin E, or vitamin A.
Right.
Not E, A. That's very interesting. But before we go into that more, what are the signs and symptoms of measles?
Well, the first thing that usually shows up with measles is spots inside the mouth. Mm. That's really the first thing that kind of shows up with a high fever. And they're called Koplik spots.
So they're
little
the
white
mouth.
Spots in the mouth is where they start. And usually then you get a really high fever. It can be as high as 105. Mm. And then the rash then starts at that point. And this is about 14 days after exposure. So, you know, you can be walking around with the measles and then start to spread it even before you have any signs or symptoms, which is something that makes it a real problem. Mm-hmm. But the rash usually appears again about 14 days after. And it starts in the head, and then it kind of spreads from the head all the way down to the body,
okay.
All the way down to the toes. So it starts there, goes there, and then it's about, you get the rash for about, you can get the rash for about 14 days, and then it can disappear. But 4 days after you get the rash, you're still very contagious.
After the rash is gone?
While you have the rash.
Oh, okay.
And then usually towards the end that you have the rash, then it's not actually contagious.
Okay, so you can be contagious for
you
14
are contagious.
Days. You are contagious for 14 days before it even shows
well,
up.
The first 4 days you're probably not. For about 10 days, though, you can walk around being contagious.
Mm-hmm. And not even know it. Okay, interesting. So let's talk about the vitamin E or vitamin A. Boy, keep correcting me on that. But vitamin A, the first letter in the alphabet,
sure,
is so important for the measles.
It is. So it's matter of fact, it is the most effective treatment for the measles. Mm-hmm. So what they recommend on that is usually an IV vitamin A, just kind of injected in. You can take it orally, but your vitamin A levels when you get the measles is one of the most important things.
So how do you test for vitamin A?
You can do a blood test.
Okay.
It's a very easy type of thing.
So that would be important. What are some of the sources for vitamin A?
Well, sources for vitamin A are yellow vegetables. So anything that looks yellow is a good source of vitamin A.
Squash. So
you got your squash, you got your carrots, or orange, you know, as people like to say. Even the green leafy vegetables oftentimes have some yellow in it, so that's also a good source. Liver is actually the highest source.
Liver.
Yes.
Eat your liver.
Yes. And one of the things that we do when we're trying to get people healthy is I say eat their liver, and they make this funny face, and so we give them liver pills instead. But Royal Lee, who started Standard Process Company,
yes,
said that he was really a very big nutritionist, had a lot to do with understanding nutrition. Said that he could feed the world with a yellow vegetable, beets and beet tops, and liver.
Liver.
And he could keep everyone healthy with those three foods if he could just get them to eat them. So the yellow vegetables, the beets, and then the beet tops are actually one of the most nutritious foods out there.
Wow.
So if you can start throwing, people throw those away. And they're really good. I've fixed those before.
Mm-hmm.
You can either cook them, make them into salads. But beet tops are absolutely amazing health nutrients. And then liver. And, of course, we like calves' liver much better. And I do a lot of chicken livers. But liver is one of your best sources. And for those people who don't like liver or don't like beets and beet tops, do put those into vitamin nutrients, food-based, and give those to people quite a bit for their health concerns. And it really does have a lot.
Eat your liver.
Yeah, eat your liver. Eat your liver. Uh-huh. It's
I love liver growing up because my mom fixed it so well. Yeah. So, very interesting. So, those are your sources of vitamin A.
And there really isn't. You can... kids can have an extremely high fever, things like that, and you give them the vitamin A. Mm-hmm. Another source on that is beta carotene. You can take quite a bit of it. You also need to watch out for vitamin A toxicity.
Because is it a fat-soluble vitamin?
Fat-soluble vitamin.
Like D.
Which can cause problems if you get too much of it. So too little is really bad, and too much is bad. But vitamin A has a tremendous amount to do with your immune system, and extremely important for the health. And one of the things is making sure that the vitamin A levels, especially in babies, because babies' immune system hasn't developed. Now, babies are actually protected from the measles from mothers. So they actually get their immunity from moms, but if moms don't have the immunity, then the babies don't get it either. So, you know, there are problems.
Is that only if they're nursing, or you're talking about genetically?
Genetically, well, actually you get that from the mom even if you don't nurse, but you get a tremendous amount of an immune boost. Children who are babies who are who nurse, usually go through the measles much, much easier. Matter of fact, the whole health and immune system is much, much better if you breastfeed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a huge factor, and they've proven how important that is.
Okay. Well, let's go on. Let's talk about structure function care, which we do at the Prather practice.
Sure.
How does that help with infections such as measles?
Well, one of the things is that anytime that you get the nervous system working better, things improve quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of a upper respiratory ear infections, making sure that the structure's in place, helps with the drainage of the lymphatic tissue. And the lymph system is basically where most of the immune system kind of travels through.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that the lymph system is moving properly is really helped out tremendously by the adjustments. So getting a good adjustment helps with the stimulation of the body and of the immune system, and we can see some immediate differences. Sometimes we can get somebody with a fever, do an adjustment, and the fever will go away immediately.
Mm.
So looking at that as one of the health benefits, and I always, first and foremost, I'm a chiropractor, and I really try to promote that and let people know how effective it is. Our patients know that. They can tell you. We've had many patients who said, since I started the chiropractic, I used to have at least 3 or 4 upper respiratory infections while I was during the winter, and I didn't get any this year. So those types of things, I really try to make our our population aware of that and know how important that can be for their health and well-being.
You're really a nervous system doctor.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's the nervous system, which controls everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about the role the gut plays?
The gut, the National Institute of Health has done extensive studies on gut and the immune system. Mm-hmm. 80% of the immune system is around the gut, and the health of the gut determines 80% of the health of the immune system. So, you know, we really try to find out what's going on in the gut. So we do an analysis on that, a stool test. Mm-hmm. And it tells us what's going on.
I did mine. Woo!
Yeah, I know. I'm so proud of you. And I do recommend that done on a yearly basis. And when I just had a little baby who came in who was not thriving well, having a lot of infections. I said one of the easiest ways to kind of determine what's going on with this child is we were doing hair analysis, a very small amount of blood test, and then also a stool sample. That way we can find out why the immune system is compromised, what we need to do about that. And it's very easy to get stool from a baby.
Right. Right there in the diaper.
Yep. So it makes it a real easy type of a process. And then we can find out how we can improve that. And the results of that, when we start to make the changes in the bowels, once we know what's going on, we can start to make some dramatic changes on the health and the well-being of that child.
The gut is so important.
It really is.
80%?
80% of the immune system's around the gut. Mm-hmm. So whenever you have any type of immune compromise, matter of fact, the National Institute of Health went on to say that they feel that they could solve 80% of all autoimmune diseases by the gut.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can keep the gut healthy, then that would be the key to improving the health. So, you know, one of the things that we're doing is we're concentrating on the vaccinations as a means of controlling that. And what we're doing is, but we're not really concentrating on the health of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the vaccinations, I'm all for that. Their effectiveness is very well proven. But let's not ignore the basic health of the individual. We've gotten away from that, and we are starting to really pay some prices for that.
Mm-hmm. And the health. When we come back, more on measles. Is there a crisis?
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
So my wife went and bought all the ingredients necessary for the cleanup, but she wasn't home that afternoon, so she put them all on the kitchen counter. She kept texting me. Now remember, at 3:00, you're supposed to start the cleanse, you know. I'm like, yeah. I passed everything I've ever eaten in my entire life. I passed things I had only thought about eating. I passed things my neighbors had eaten. I passed a red bicycle we keep in the garage. And 1 hour later, what was coming out of me was so pure, it could be legally declared mountain spring water.
A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at dtsweightlosscenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed.
I'm
Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Well, we're talking today about measles. Is there a crisis? And there's a lot going on in the news about measles and vaccinations. We were talking about the importance of vitamin A, and that can be tested through blood. It is a fat-soluble vitamin, so it's very important. We talk, if you've been a radio listener for a while, homeostasis is so important. So when your body is in homeostasis, then you're healthy.
Yeah, and homeostasis is balance.
Mm-hmm.
And balance is the, homeostasis is balance, and homeostasis is health. So the better you are into homeostasis, the healthier you are. And structure function care is about making you healthier by bringing about homeostasis in the system.
Makes sense. So let's talk about, how are children's immune system different than adults?
Well, it's an entirely different type of system, and they have to have a different system, because the adult's immune system wouldn't allow the type of growth that goes on. They would consider it almost a cancerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
So what works for an adult doesn't necessarily work for a child. Matter of fact, infant mortality is one of the major things that we don't have to really worry about here in the United States, but that used to be the major reason for death. So the reason that life expectancy in so many different types of countries is because of childhood deaths due to infections, because of they have a weaker immune system than adults do.
Mm.
You know, oftentimes parents will say, well, I don't really need to get my kids checked out. Kids are just naturally healthy. Well, that's not actually true. Kids mm-hmm. are greater risk than adults are for many things. So getting your kids checked and making sure that they're in homeostasis is one of the most important things.
Yeah, and don't wait till they verbalize, you know.
Right, kids don't know, you mm-hmm. know. So having regular checks, making sure, and pediatricians are fine, but they're dealing with disease care.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really working or trained in providing homeostasis for your child.
Mm-hmm.
So finding someone who works with homeostasis, especially in children, really helps them throughout their entire life, and something that should be established at a very young age.
Mm-hmm. Very important to get that whole family involved in that.
And children's immune system is based off of the thymus. Just to kind of simplify it, it's much more complicated than that. Whereas adults, we have a bone marrow-based immune system.
That's really interesting.
So a thymus for a child is about 4 times bigger than adults. Because it actually works. When they mature, then the thymus, once they reach puberty and they've reached their maximum growth, the thymus will actually shrink. So, you know, there is a huge amount of emphasis on the thymus as a means of working with the immune system. So one of the things is we really look towards the thymus, work with it differently. So even the different types of products that we would give for a child as opposed to adult, there is a definite difference on that mm-hmm. to boost the immune system.
So are there ways to support the thymus? How do you do that?
There are ways to support the thymus. There are several different herbs that can be involved, homeopathics. But one of the best things that we give is something called thymus glandulars.
Mm.
So what we do is we give them all the necessary nutrients to build their thymus. One of the common things that we do is we give thymus glandular for children, sometimes adults, but children is extremely effective and can really, really boost the immune system. So if we would have a child in who came in, one, we would make sure that they have adequate levels of vitamin A in their system.
Mm-hmm.
But two, we would also really support the thymus quite a bit and give thymus glandular, because that really has a big effect, especially on any type of viral infections.
So what can damage the thymus?
Now, thymus is very sensitive. Mm-hmm. It naturally shrinks when you get older.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that they found is that vaccinations damage the thymus. Matter of fact, one of the things that they've seen is that they've done pre and post studies on the thymus, and about 80% of the time after a vaccination, there's a shrinking of the thymus. Now, we're not completely sure, but any type of stressors on the system, heavy metals also will shrink the thymus. So mercury, aluminum, lead, any of those types of things can also cause damage. So the thymus is very sensitive to environmental factors that can be a toxin and will actually shrink in size, which means that their function isn't up to par. So making sure that you support the thymus, keep the toxicity as low as possible in the child, really helps out with the immune system, because there's a very strong correlation between the size of the thymus and its effectiveness.
Interesting. And you said the thymus is really important in children, and then in puberty it starts shrinking.
Yes. Once you've switched over the immune system, the thymus decreases quite dramatically in size.
So you were talking about this research done that after vaccination or environmental toxicities to mercury, aluminum, the thymus does shrink.
The thymus can shrink. It doesn't always.
Okay.
But oftentimes it will. Matter of fact, almost like 80% of the time, they can show that. So supporting that thymus.
Because that will decrease the immune system.
And that decreases the immune system. So making sure that one of the things that we do is we support families during vaccinations, make sure that they have the best outcomes. That is one of the things that we do in our office.
And so how do you support through building up the immune system?
Building up the immune system. Well, an example of that would be I had a mom who came in, and she had adopted a child, and they had taken the little boy to the doctor for the vaccinations, pediatrician. They had gotten the vaccination, and that night the child went into convulsions, had high fever. They took him into the emergency room at the hospital. He actually died once. They revived him, were able to get him through everything, and then he was able to get home. Very traumatic experience. And then they said, well, you know, it's time for the child's next vaccination. The mom said, well, I correlate that completely with the vaccination. I don't think, and the doctors denied that had anything to do with the vaccination that was done. And they said, you're required to go on ahead and have that child vaccinated. And she came in to me very distraught. I had taken care of the family before, and she said, you know, what do I do with this? Because I'm afraid that this child, and I'm required to, I either have to give up the child or who is going to get vaccinated. But I feel that there was a very strong correlation on that. So I said, well, you know, we actually work with that. So what we did is I said, which vaccinations are you going to have? And we made up homeopathics for those. We also gave some thymus and some other different types of supportive type of material, made sure that the vitamin A was up to normal levels, which has a lot to do with how you respond to vaccinations. Matter of fact, oftentimes the vitamin A level determines, you know, like how we talked about the measles, the vitamin A level also has a determination on how well children respond to vaccinations, whether they go into crisis or not.
How was this child's vitamin A?
Low. So, you know, because they had come from an orphanage. So what we did was we gave all those types of things, got it all prepared. And I said, bring the child back immediately. After the vaccination, we'll check them in at that point. Got the vaccination, brought him back, we checked him, added a couple things, and the child did fantastic. There was absolutely no reaction, no abnormal response. And we've done that with quite a few children, you know, on parents who were concerned that they would be taking the child in and the possibility of reactions either the child had had a problem before. You know, and whenever we were able to work with them, they had gone through the vaccinations with absolutely no issues.
So adding that support.
Again, you know, we're trying to take the structure function model and then integrate it into the medical model. Mm-hmm. So what if we can sit there, and there is a lot of controversy about vaccinations and whether it does cause damage to children. We have really quite a crisis in our healthcare with our children. We have 1 in 6 children that are diagnosed right now, according to the CDC, with learning disabilities. 1 in 6. Now, in my days, we didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
We also have 54% of all children right now have chronic, some type of chronic disease.
54%.
54% have some type of chronic disease that is going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these are numbers from the CDC. And that did not used to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something that we have done wrong, you know, with our children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is claims that vaccinations are part of the problem along these lines, because there has been an increase. Also, there's claims that it's environmental, that there's a lot of things. We know that that there's an issue, but we don't know exactly where it's coming from. You know, the results really aren't in. But we need to find out a different way of actually working with this, and we feel that structured function care could be the answer.
Okay, when we come back, let's talk about what role should vaccines play in a child's health.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, how common is infertility?
The official numbers are about 10% of the population has been diagnosed with infertility problems.
That'd be women.
Actually, it's about 50-50.
Oh,
when you're talking about infertility issues, it's not just a woman's problem, but it's also a man's problem, too.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, it is actually a growing problem. It's getting worse.
What role does structure function care play in treating infertility?
Most people think about the medical intervention, IVF treatments. But really, as you're looking at, the first step should be just trying to get healthy. You know, approaching this from a standpoint of things aren't working right, what's not working right, and then getting it functioning properly. The healthier you are, the more likely you are to get pregnant. That's just the way it works.
Is the Prather practice successful in treating infertility?
Yes, and one of the things is we have quite a few couples who come in for infertility problems, and we have an extremely high success rate. As we look at the percentage of you know, who I kind of consider was our infertility patients, most of them that we kind of consider had already been through medical intervention trying to get pregnant. We're unsuccessful. And we have about between an 80 and 90% success rate, even with those men and women.
That have already been through the medical.
Have already tried the medical and was unsuccessful.
Interesting.
It's amazing, again, if you get the body healthy, how successful that is.
And the medical intervention is so costly.
Yes, it's extremely costly, but if you've been through it, oftentimes we need to really repair a lot of damage. Because it's really, really hard on the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a pleasant experience at all. Very emotional, very expensive. And really, really just wears out. And there's been quite a few women who, I don't even care about getting pregnant right now. I just want to, you know, my hormones are all a mess. You know, I've lost weight. There's all sorts of different things that are going on. When we do their blood work, you know, there's kidney damage, liver damage, you know, that has actually occurred through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get them healthy, and as we're getting them healthy, all of a sudden they get pregnant, too. So it's a very rewarding type of thing.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
Don't stop. Believe it.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, we're talking about measles. Is there a crisis? And Dr. Prather, you talked about the increase in measles in the first segment, and why, you know, in the year 2000, they thought that it was...
Well, it was eradicated.
It was eradicated.
It just came in from outside the country.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the role. What role should vaccine play in a child's health?
Well, you know, the vaccinations has been very successful in eliminating quite a few diseases. There's no doubt that children live longer. There's less injuries that come from infections with the whole vaccination program. Again, with everything, there's a flip side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, we've been able to cut down the effects of the infections, but we've also created a situation where we have a whole new disease processes that weren't in children before. You know, the whole rate of learning disabilities has just gone right through the roof. That everyone acknowledges is getting worse and worse and worse,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't there before. So there is a major, not only do we have, you know, yes, we've got the measles, and it should be taken seriously, but we should be really spending what is going on with our children. We have, instead of the acute infections, you know, have we just traded acute infections now for chronic conditions and with learning disabilities?
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about autism and
autism, Asperger's, deficit? All those different types of issues on that. There are numbers that are coming out that 1 in 35 children, 1 out of every 35 children have some type of spectrum disorder.
Hmm.
And, you know, these rates have, like in the last 15 years, gone up 4 times. So what is it that's going on in, you know, yes, vaccinations have done wonders in their area,
mm-hmm.
but if there is a possibility that's actually created a different type of crisis, shouldn't that be addressed and actually looked at?
Now, can vaccines be harmful?
There is a national vaccine injury compensation program that was put together by the government.
Mm.
What happened is during Ronald Reagan's term, the vaccination industry was hit with a huge number of lawsuits that was going to wipe them out. So what they did was they took the whole situation with the courts out of the courts, and they came up with a type of a system. In other words, if you have an injury from a vaccination, it no longer follows due process of law.
Hmm.
In other words, you are outside of the due process of law. The way that you get, there is a special court that is run basically by the vaccine industry.
Mm-hmm.
Helped by the federal government, that you have to pass through to be able to prove that you have had injuries. Now, understand, there has been a lot. There's been $4 billion in compensations out there.
I had heard that they had run out of money.
No, they've resupplied it.
Okay.
But the numbers and the legal precedents that you have to prove to have a compensation on that are really, by any stretch of the imagination, not really viable. In other words, it's an extremely difficult type of a process, and even with that process, there's been $4 billion paid out. So there is a problem. There are definite injuries that occur with vaccinations. I've certainly seen them in my office because that's oftentimes where they wind up.
Mm-hmm.
There is a feeling among a lot of parents and a lot of people out there. Robert Kennedy is one who has a whole organization out there for vaccine injuries. And as a lawyer, he's actually handled that. and that there is a tremendous amount of problems that are occurring along these lines that isn't really being addressed. And I can understand both sides of this, mm-hmm. because there has been so much benefit from the vaccinations. Mm-hmm. But there also is this controversy of the injuries of the vaccinations, which is done. And one of the things that, you know, I feel is that if we could get some honest evaluation along those lines. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't really done that. I've seen the evidence in my office of vaccination injuries. But, you know, couldn't we really spend a tremendous amount of billions of dollars to try to figure out and make sure that our vaccines are safe for our children? Mm-hmm. Our children are our greatest resource, and if we couldn't look at that honestly. And one of the things is that they feel, well, if we have any type of criticism on that, people will back away from the vaccinations and will lose a lot of the benefit that we have, which is a danger. But we need to be willing to go after the truth and see what's going on and make sure that we are protecting our children, both with vaccinations and also with making sure that there isn't a toxicity that we're introducing into our children, and reduce that as far as possible.
Yeah, and I like, let's talk about the role the Prather practice plays with vaccinations. You know, checking, making sure the child's immune system is strong.
Correct. You know, one of the things is that a lot of children go through the whole vaccination program with absolutely no problem. Mm-hmm. Why do they go through and then some others are injured? Well, one of the main things is their basic health. How is their basic health doing? You know, are we actually making sure? So, you know, before you have a child vaccinated, it's really great if you can make sure that they're healthy. Because mm-hmm. they actually advise not to give a child vaccination when they are sick or weakened.
Or because their immune system's compromised.
Immune system's compromised. So, you know, we see that we could really be a real help in this and cut down on the injuries, keep the vaccinations going for the benefit, mm-hmm. but also then provide the other care so that that we don't have injuries that actually occur. Because not only can we prevent injuries with the infections, but we can also provide protection from injuries that could come from the vaccinations, too.
So what is the best way to protect myself and my children with the measles outbreak right now? We have only 1 minute, Dr.
All right. Well, the biggest thing is come in and get checked. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure. Well, one, you can actually do a blood test and find out if you're immune to the measles. Mm-hmm. That would be an excellent way to kind of check on it if that's a concern, especially if you're traveling outside the country. That would be something that would be smart mm-hmm. to do. Mm-hmm. But then also get tested to make sure that your vitamin A level and your immune system's working properly. If not, do the proper things that need to be done to get it up to par.
And get your children checked, too.
Oh, children are very important. Are they our most precious thing?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm just really promote, and I've been saying this forever, not only do you need your disease care doctors, but you also need your structure function doctors, because structure function care keeps you healthy, and that's what we're here for. So start applying your structure function care.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, as always.
Thank you,
very
Lisa.
Informative.
Appreciate it.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Have you ever been curious about how acupuncture can benefit your health? The Prather Practice has received the Indy A List Award for Best in Acupuncture for 2 years in a row, and we've been rated the top acupuncture provider by Google Plus. Dr. Robert Prather is a board-certified licensed acupuncturist. He's earned a reputation for combining effective acupuncture-based techniques with cutting-edge technology to help patients with many conditions. Acupuncture is documented and proven to help with many health issues, including pain, allergies, addiction control, anxiety, fatigue, vision problems, infertility, and so much more. We even have needle-free options for those who are a bit squeamish around needles. Call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment and experience the benefits of acupuncture for yourself. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, Restoring Hope.